Once they were outside, TJ wanted to come straight home, but the Simmses said they had business to take care of and told him to wait in the back of the truck. When TJ objected and said that he was going to tell everybody it was R.W. and Melvin who had hurt the Barnetts unless they took him home, the two of them lit into him, beating him with savage blows until he couldn't stand, then flung him into the back of the truck and went down the street to the pool hall. TJ lay there for what he thought must have been an hour before crawling from the truck and starting home. About a mile outside of town, he got a ride with a farmer headed for Smellings Creek by way of Soldiers Road. Not wanting to walk past the Simmses' place for fear R.W. and Melvin had taken the Jackson Road home, he didn't get out at the Jefferson Davis School Road intersection, but instead crossed Soldiers Bridge with the farmer and got out at the intersection beyond the bridge and walked around, coming from the west to our house. TJ, was them Barnetts dead? Asked Stacy when TJ grew quiet. TJ shook his head. I don't know. They sure look dead. Stacy, anybody find out, you know what they do to me? He stood up, his face grimacing with pain. Stacy, help me get home, he pleaded. I'm afraid to go there by myself. R.W. and Melvin might be waiting. You sure you ain't lying, TJ? I asked suspiciously. I swear everything I told y'all is the truth. I admit I lied about telling on your mama, but I ain't lying now, I ain't. Stacy thought a moment. Why don't you stay here tonight? Papa'll tell your daddy what happened, and he won't put... No! Cried TJ, his eyes big with terror. Can't tell nobody. I gotta go. He headed for the door, holding his side. But before he could reach it, his legs gave way, and Stacy caught him and guided him back to the bed. I studied TJ closely under the light, sure that he was pulling another fast one. But then he coughed, and blood spurted from his mouth. His eyes glazed, his face paled, and I knew that this time TJ was not faking. You're hurt bad, Stacy said. Let me get Big Ma. She'll know what to do. TJ shook his head weakly. My mama. I'll just tell her them white boys beat me for no reason, and she'll believe it. She'll take care of me. But you go waken your grandmama, and your daddy'll be in it. Stacy, please. You my only friend. Ain't never really had no true friend but you. Stacy, I whispered, afraid of what he might do. As far back as I could remember, Stacy had felt a responsibility for TJ. I had never really understood why. Perhaps he felt that even a person as despicable as TJ needed someone he could call friend, or perhaps he sensed TJ's vulnerability better than TJ did himself. Stacy, you ain't going, are you? Stacy wet his lips, thinking. Then he looked at me. You going back to bed, Cassie. I'll be all right. Yeah, I know you're going to be all right, because I'm going to tell Papa, I cried, turning to dash for the other room. But Stacy reached into the darkness and caught me. Look, Cassie, it won't take me but 25 or 30 minutes to run down there and back. Really, it's all right. You as big a fool as he is, then, I accused frantically. You don't owe him nothing, especially after what he'd done to Mama. Stacy released me. He's hurt bad, Cassie. I gotta get him home. He turned away from me and grabbed his pants. I stared after him. Then I said, well, you ain't going without me. If Stacy was going to be a fool and go running out into the night to take an even bigger fool home, the least I could do was make sure he got back in one piece. Cassie, you can't go. Go where? Piped little man sitting up. Christopher John sat up too, yawning sleepily. Is it morning? What y'all doing up? Little man questioned. He blinked into the light and rubbed his eyes. TJ, that you? What you doing here? Where y'all going? Nowhere. I'm just gonna walk TJ home, Stacy said. Now go on back to sleep. Little man jumped out of bed and pulled his clothes from the hanger where he had neatly hung them. I'm going too, he squealed. Not me, said Christopher John, lying back down again. While Stacy attempted to put little man back to bed, I checked the porch to make sure that Mr. Morrison wasn't around, then slipped back to my own room to change. When I emerged again, the boys were on the porch, and Christopher John, his pants over his arm, was murmuring a strong protest against this middle-of-the-night stroll. Stacy attempted to persuade both him and Little Man back inside, but Little Man wouldn't budge, and Christopher John, as much as he protested, wouldn't be left behind. Finally, Stacy gave up, and with TJ leaning heavily against him, hurried across the lawn. The rest of us followed. Once on the road, Christopher John struggled into his pants, and we became part of the night. Quiet, frightened, and wishing just to dump TJ on his front porch and get back to the safety of our own beds, we hastened along the invisible road, brightened only by the round of the flashlight. The thunder was creeping closer now, rolling angrily over the forest depths, and bringing the lightning with it as we emerged from the path into the deserted Avery yard.
Wait till I get inside, will ya? Requested TJ.
Ain't nobody here, I said sourly. What you need us to wait for?
Go on, TJ, said Stacy. We'll wait.
Thanks, y'all, TJ said. Then he limped to the side of the house and slipped awkwardly into his room through an open window.
Come on, let's get out of here, said Stacy, herding us back to the path.
But as we neared the forest, Little Man turned.
Hey, y'all, look over yonder. What's that?
Beyond the Avery house, bright lights appeared far away on the road near the Granger mansion. For a breathless second, they lingered there, then plunged suddenly downward toward the Averys. The first set of lights was followed by a second, then a third, until there were half a dozen sets of headlights beaming over the trail.
Well, what's happening? Cried Christopher John.